the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Climbing mountains is not my thing. I'm a little afraid of heights. To be honest, I'm a lot afraid of heights. Even the thought of going up Old Rag Mountain in Shenandoah National Park gives me a queasy sensation in the pit of my stomach. But every now and again, for better or for worse, I'm in a place where I'm up high, and even through my fear, I must admit that the view is amazing. I just wish I could look without feeling like I'm going to fall. You know that feeling? It's that sense that your stomach is dropping faster than fast, and you feel dizzy and disoriented. Can you imagine how that very same feeling hit the disciples who accompanied Jesus up that high mountain when suddenly Jesus was changed before their very eyes? His clothes as white as the purest bleached linen, his face aglow, and beside him the ancient ones, Moses and Elijah. Those disciples who went up, Peter, James, and John, may have wondered why Jesus had invited them on this strenuous hike. I doubt that Jesus said to them, "Let's go climb this mountain and watch what happens to me." He probably didn't warn them that he would be transformed before their eyes, blessed, changed, affirmed by the presence of Moses and Elijah, with his divinity shining so brightly that they had to shield their eyes, and his heavenly Father's blessing so absolute and clear that they were speechless. Speechless, that is, except for Peter, who, being Peter, had to say something. "Shall I build some tents, some shelters for you and Moses and Elijah?" he asked. A ridiculous question. A God and a patriarch and a prophet have no need of shelter. Dizzy with shock, unable to figure out how to understand what was going on, he tried to do something appropriate and hospitable, because there's certainly no guidebooks for hikes with this kind of view at the top. All Peter wanted to do was create a way for them all to stay up there, to continue to feel the glow of this amazing thing, to be close to this transfigured Jesus, and perhaps even Moses and Elijah. He wanted to cling to that moment, and who can blame him? But it was a moment that was not intended to go on indefinitely. Suffice to say, Peter never built those shelters. After God the Father spoke, dramatically affirming who Jesus was, his beloved Son, the dramatic moment ended. Jesus was back to being their rabbi, their traveling companion, their teacher. Moses and Elijah were nowhere to be found. There was nothing to do but to go back down the mountain. But Jesus was clear that they were not to share what had happened with the others. I would imagine that that was a pretty difficult order for Peter and James and John. If you had the same experience, wouldn't you want to tell the others about it? But these three disciples, Jesus' inner circle, kept their promise and said nothing when they went down the mountain. But even though they were silent about it, they were changed by what had happened. How could you not be changed after what they saw? What are your mountaintop moments? The moments where you're shocked into a deeper understanding of what it means to be a child of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where you suddenly understand Him better and understand yourself more deeply as a result. I had the privilege of seeing this in action last summer when I went with our young people on their mission trip. I watched them be transformed, learning new skills, learning compassion for people whose lives were very, very different from theirs. They were very different on the Saturday when we returned from the kids who had left Richmond a week before. Their sensitivity, their willingness to see Christ in the people whom they served, their desire to do something concrete to assist people in need was a beautiful thing to see. And when it was time for us to come home from that mission trip, just like the disciples on the top of the mountain, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay up on that mountain. They spoke of frustration that they hadn't been able to finish everything that they had started. They wanted to continue in community with new friends and old, doing something that was meaningful and powerful. They wanted to continue to be the people that they had become on that particular mountaintop. People who had the skills and the capacity and the heart to help others. And yet, they and we knew that you can't stay on the mountaintop forever. You have to come down. The challenge is what you do with the way that you have been transformed once you've come down from that mountain. Mission has a way of doing that to you, does it? It changes you. You may leave thinking you're going to help others, when the reality is that it is you who is changed. The process of change is not without its challenges. There's fear, there's confusion, there's that vertigo in your head and in your stomach. It's all part of being transformed. We prefer simply to stay unchanged. That's the easier path. But who would miss a chance to feel closer to God? Now, this Sunday is an interesting Sunday. It's not only the last Sunday in Epiphany, not only Transfiguration Sunday, as you heard in the Gospel, it's also World Mission Sunday. It's a time when we raise up the possibility of helping others and sharing the Word of God by love and action. So why did we link World Mission to the Transfiguration? Take a look at the words that Jesus says at the end of the passage. Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Now, when we focus on this passage, we tend to hear that Jesus told them to be quiet. And we forget that last phrase. They were ordered to keep quiet until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Let's turn it around. Let's rephrase it as a positive rather than a negative. And suddenly what you're hearing is, after I'm resurrected, after I'm risen from the dead, go tell everybody what you saw. Affirm my divinity as you saw it affirmed up on that mountaintop. Go and proclaim the word. And isn't that the heart of mission? But how do we proclaim Christ in his power and glory as seen up on that mountaintop? Certainly proclaiming it with words is a part of it. That's what we saw Jesus do again and again. But what else did he do? He healed. He helped. He prayed. He loved. He acted in ways that demonstrated what he said. And that's the other part of mission, the other part that we're asked to do. The mission of the church is to proclaim the risen Christ through words and through actions. That's the lesson that our young people learned in Tazewell last summer. We are asked to bring Christ, to be Christ's hands and feet in the world to those who need Christ and all that that means. But the funny thing that happens when we do it is not just that we help another human being. It's that we are more deeply connected to the Christ who bade us to do these things. We climb the mountain with Jesus Christ, not knowing what's going to happen when we get to the top. When we get up there, we see things. And we see the Jesus we climbed with in a deeper and clearer and more meaningful way. We are transformed. When we come down from that mountain, or back from a mission trip, or home from helping at Lamb's Basket, or back from driving our Caritas guests to a shower or a place where they can wash their clothes, we are the ones who are changed. We help others. We show them Christ. But we also show ourselves that we are the ones whom Christ told to share his message by our words and our actions in the world. When Peter and James and John went up that mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured. But those disciples came down the mountain. Transformed. This is what mission does. It shows us Christ in ways that we never saw him before. So on this day, on every day, be willing to climb the mountain, even if you're afraid of heights. Be willing to do mission however you are called to do it. In prayer, in love, in words, in action. Be transformed, and in your transformation, with Christ's help, you can transform the world. Amen.